The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer. David Faber has the morning off. Futures do go green here as jobless claims are roughly in line. Stocks trim about a quarter of their losses from the last 3 days. Our roadmap begins with that roller coaster, though. Tesla and technology continue to rebound. Citi, as Andrew said, naming the first woman to lead a mega bank. Jane Fraser set to replace Michael Corbat in February. And AstraZeneca saying it should know before the end of the year if its COVID-19 vaccine is effective. Jim, I know that Citi news popped for you.
Yeah, I candidly, Mike and Donna, his wife, are friends of mine. And friends of my executive producer, Regina Gilgan. So I have to reveal that because I often say it's not about friends, it's about money. This is jarring for those of us older than Mike, who's 60, but he did work there for 38 years, not retiring until February. But how great, and when I spoke to him this morning, how great Jane Fraser coming in. The glass ceiling in banking maybe is finally cracking. And it's a great legacy for Mike. Tops off a period where, remember, net income increased from $7.5 billion to $19.4 billion. Tangible common equity return 5.0 to 12.1%. And they returned $80 billion in capital during Mike's reign. Now, remember, banking is hard. All those numbers haven't necessarily led to great performance of the stock, but they are great numbers. Mike is a much-loved figure, as is Donna, his wife, and I regard them as a team. And I know he wants to do many, many things in life. And this is a soul-searching time. He appointed Jane last year. He made it clear that this could happen. But for those of us who know him, we're thinking, wow, we're jealous. Mike has rethought his life, wants to do something big. Maybe we should all think like that. So congratulations Jane. Congratulations to Mike. Congratulations to Donna. He's expecting a grandchild. Also great.
Wow, that's all interesting color, Jim. You know, she does run the consumer bank, a 16-year vet. She'll have not only the business to contend with, but there's other headlines this morning about Citi asking how many employees want to come back to the office. Right. And if they do get some response on that, it sounds like they will limit in-office capacity around 30%. So she'll have those logistics to worry about, too.
We're getting a lot of talk about how people come back. Darius Adamczyk was very, very eloquent, the CEO of Honeywell just now, 100 years, talking about he wants people back. I think that this is one where we all might want people back, but we're all faced with the notion of, do people want to come back, both because they've rethought their lives, but also because of health concerns. A lot of people are acting as this thing's beat. I like to think that let's wait until we get a vaccine before we start talking about coming back. Mike, very soul-searching guy. I'd like to see what Jane says about coming back. But this is revolutionary, and we can't deny it. When Ben Odor retired at a very young age over at Clorox and appointed a woman, I said, you know what, maybe this is the beginning of the recognition that it's important that women get top jobs. As a father of two daughters who were always asking, who are the women who run companies, it's always one hand that you can name. So maybe this is a really good sign. Mike, thoughtful man.
Yeah. Yeah, not just that, but adding to the board as well. Right. So that's going to be key to watch. It would be great news if we could start to broaden out a diversity of leadership. As for the reopening here, Jim, of course, NFL tonight. I know we'll talk about indoor dining in New York beginning at the end of the month and your concerns about capacity inside. Once you couple it with the outside, there's a look at Arrowhead, where capacity, Jim, 22%. We will actually get some fans watching the game live.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Eagles are letting no one in. 22%. It's really an issue. I don't want to be too crass about it, but it's the issue of the bathrooms. Are the bathrooms capable of handling it? I got this from, there's been a number of studies about that's the real weak link. And I know that all of us who are waiting for the vaccine find that some of these things as maybe questionable, particularly because what happens under the sanitary conditions? People want to get back. They don't want to miss the game. They got to hurry people. They got to get back. The halftime. And I just find that let's hope it goes well, Carl. But I think it's okay to do what the Phillies do, which is have a lot of cutouts. It looks pretty exciting.
Yeah. We'll see, Jim. I mean, there's a lot more chatter about the way in which infection new case rates not only come down in New York tri-state, it's down 95% and hasn't spiked again. I mean, the concern now continues to be college. Do you think it was time for Cuomo and de Blasio to finally open up indoor?
Well, yeah, but when you do 25% instead of 40, which is what we were hoping as an owner of a restaurant and co-owner of another, it just doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work. When we lose the outdoor space because of the cold, I don't know how to stay open unless you just want to lose money until a vaccine. And it's I'm hanging on Meg Terrell's words more than I'm hanging on Cuomo's words because you can't take the beating. I mean, we've just taken a beating. And look, I fortunately have good luck and good fortune. There are many people who are very close to the edge. This is the push over the edge when it gets cold.
Yeah, Goldman has a new survey of small businesses, Jim. 10,000 they survey. 65% think their business will survive. A third say they'll lay off if there's no more additional rescue packages from Congress. And, of course, the Senate will hold a vote today on the slimmed-down GOP proposal. Need 60 votes on a procedural. It will be tough to get there, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it's dead on arrival, but PPP is so necessary just to be able to get a bridge. I had Coupa Software on last night. They have some tremendous predictive analysis. It's the hospitality industry. They predict it could drop off as much as 50%. I wish they would just target the industries that can't make it. We are a Mexican restaurant, so is Chipotle. We don't have Chipotle's balance sheet. They will survive. We can't survive. I mean, we'll do well by our employees, but we got to see. 25%, and they're talking about having no people at the bar? We're a bar. We've been closed. I mean, I say we. I mean, there's everybody on the block, everybody around. Manhattan has reasons why you want to go there as destination. Brooklyn, not that many. This is nationwide. You look at Darden stock, it's been a rocket. Yum stock has been a rocket. Why? Because they're going to survive. We're going to return to a period where there's only going to be a few restaurants in the country. And that's what we have to accept. There's our casualties. It's not like the government did it. It's not like the regulations. I mean, the government didn't create the pandemic. But in New York, the government is responsible for a tremendous amount of dislocation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been interesting, Jim. I mean, we've talked, of course, for months about the shift from mom and pop to public companies, not just in restaurants, but in travel and all that. And yet, you know, yesterday we had UAL add some new transoceanic routes to Maui and India. Today, JetBlue's adding a couple dozen new routes and pulling some planes that are temporarily parked. So, I mean, not to say we're getting back to pre-COVID levels, but it is directionally positive.
I think that the airlines have done a pretty good job of late making sure that everybody wears a mask. They're going to be testing now. I have the Abbott apps, which will allow me to be able to, I think, in another few months, you'll just wave it and you'll be on the plane because you'll have just been tested. I think people are underestimating that. I have no fear of flying. I'd rather fly than be in a lot of buildings. But people have to wear masks and people should wear gloves. I think people even should wear goggles. But the airlines have distinguished themselves as no longer being the incubators as opposed to cruise ships that are still struggling with that. And restaurants, which frankly are dangerous. That is the problem. I mean, it's the air circulation. It's the when I go, I've stopped going to restaurants because every time I go, the tables are next to each other. And these are things that we all know are conducive to getting sick. I love the fact that the numbers are down. But, Carl, you and I both know that cold and flu season is coming up. And we don't know what that's going to be like when it comes to COVID. So I get the reticence and reluctance of governments. But I also know that there are going to be casualties. And the restaurants are probably going to be number one.
Yeah. Of course, DGX, to your point about testing, is up 4% pre-market, raising their guide. Looks like testing volume has recovered faster than we think. So maybe testing can act as somewhat of a bridge until we hear more from some of these trials.
Testing in mass. I've got the Honeywell mask. Happy anniversary, Honeywell. But that's what's caused these numbers to go down. I think that there's a group of ideologues who think that these things haven't mattered and testing hasn't mattered. Now, they also may think the world is flat. They may believe in things that are just not empirical. But, yeah, I mean, we're making progress. I got tested yesterday here. It's great now. We get tested once a week. I've been getting tested and tested and tested. Why? Because the viral load is such that the first 24 hours, you can give it to other people, and it comes on rather quickly. But you need to get tested and tested and tested to be able to get yourself out of the workforce so you don't infect other people. That's why I have a mask contest. We're giving away $1 million, only a few more days for 15 to 24-year-old people to get involved at xprize.org/mask, because we need people to not enjoy masks. That's impossible. But at least recognize that that's what's made things better.
Yeah.
Kind of empirical.
Yeah. I guess the other question is kind of what's happening in Europe. France hospitalizations, 1 month high.
Yeah.
ICU in France, highest since June. So hopefully we don't replicate whatever is happening or appears to be happening in the UK and France.
Yeah, Madrid bad. I mean, I think that they let up soon. And there's a Italy did not. Italy is locked down. I have two businesses in Italy. There's nothing. I mean, you can't get there. I mean, they'll turn you right back. You go there, they will send you right back. But Madrid is a real problem. UK is a problem. We're better than a lot of these places now. Of course, we went state by state. And everybody can check the New York Times every day. It's the colleges that I'm worried about. I'm worried about people being sent home and being Trojan horses. So I think that everybody's got to be on their toes. I see someone making fun of me talking about goggles flying. Why make fun of people who are trying to protect themselves? That's stupid. I want to live. Kind of rational.
Your competition on masks, Jim, has been great. Anybody
Thank
who
you.
Wants to know more can just follow your Twitter feed, of course.
Thank you.
You mentioned AstraZeneca, and our Meg Terrell this morning does have more on what the CEO said this morning about the trial and the pause. Good morning, Meg.
Hey, Carl. Well, that pause does remain in effect after that unexplained illness. And one participant in AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine trial in the UK, Pascal Soriot, the CEO of AstraZeneca, speaking at an event in the UK this morning organized by Tortoise Media, saying that if they are able to restart their trial, and depending on when, he believes they will have results by the end of the year and could potentially file for approval, so a vaccine would be available around then or in early 2021. Now, he also noted that they are still awaiting the official diagnosis for this woman, and the trial restart date is unknown. The decision about that is in the hands of an independent safety committee. Here's how we put into context this kind of event in a vaccine trial.
It is very unusual for a vaccine trial to not stop like we did. It's very common, actually, and many experts will tell you this. The difference with other vaccines trials is the whole world is not watching them, of course. So they stop the study and they restart. Mm-hmm. So what happened here is not uncommon.
So Soriot is saying the whole world is watching these vaccine trials. And of course, we know that's true, which is why eyebrows were raised yesterday when information about what caused the trial to halt was disseminated, not publicly by the company, but on a private investor call arranged by J.P. Morgan that was reported on by Adam Feuerstein at Stat News, where Pascal Soriot revealed that the participant had received the COVID-19 vaccine, not the placebo. And of course, guys, this doesn't mean we know that the vaccine caused this event, but it was a detail that we didn't have, among others. And we should say J.P. Morgan's analyst has written up a synopsis of that call, which we have. We still do not have a transcript of that call. Meanwhile, of course, there is skepticism about vaccines in general and the pace at which they're being developed. A Kaiser poll out today shows that 80% of people that they polled don't expect a vaccine will be approved before Election Day. And guys, if one was approved that early, 54% say they would not get it. Back over to you.
Meg, this seems like total amateur hour. Adam Feuerstein's he's an old friend of mine. He worked with me for years at The Street. He's at Stat. He's completely reliable. Made it sound like, look, it's really possible this could be an event. What did I do immediately when I heard him? I pulled out of the Moderna trial, canceled. I just think that when they're they had the lead, now it sounds like they're going back. This gentleman breaks the news at a J.P. Morgan conference. I'd like to see about Reg FD problems there. Meg, what is about this decision that has total amateur hour written all over it?
The decision about the communication?
Yeah, the communication. I mean, this is the most important news when it comes to the vaccine. But I'm going to get it from a J.P. Morgan conference and select dissemination. I get it from STAT. I get it from you. It's the story's different in each case. We need 30,000 people for these tests, and suddenly people just say, wait a second. I mean, I can't think of a worse. I'm trying to debate a worse way to handle this, but I haven't come up with it yet.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Jim. I mean, Pascal Soriot said it himself this morning. The world is watching these trials. And so while I have heard the argument that the information he shared on the call was not material, I mean, if you look at the stock price yesterday, they held this call at 10 a.m. The stock had declined the day before and after hours by as much as 8%. It had already recovered significantly way before 10 a.m. So, no, the call did not move the stock. But and other people say the information, you know, we're treating this as such a huge event, but some experts say trials are always stopped. So we should not be treating this as a huge event until we know more about it. So that's the devil's advocate argument. But if you're going to share that information and it's going to then get out and it is so closely watched, it might increase the fear that people have around this trial and the transparency of the communications. And anything along those lines is damaging in this environment right now.
Hey, Meg, I'm trying to remember if AZN was one of the nine companies that said they would vow to stand with science. And if he had any color, not just on trial results by the end of the year, let's say, but also the possibility of an EUA in the nearer term.
Yes, AstraZeneca was among the companies to issue that, what they called a historic pledge earlier this week, to put safety first and hold the scientific integrity above all else in developing these vaccines so quickly. I didn't hear him comment on the possibility of an emergency use authorization here in the United States. He was giving end of the year as the timeline that they're expecting. You know, previously, the timeline we'd heard about potentially for AstraZeneca was as soon as October. They were really out in the lead with these trials. So it's potentially pushed back a little bit, but he didn't comment specifically on that regulatory accelerated pathway.
Okay. Something to watch. Obviously, big news this morning early as people woke up. Meg, thanks. Meg Terrell on AstraZeneca News today. Take a quick break here. There's a lot of individual names to get to. Zscaler, of course, JCPenney, Tiffany, TikTok, plus some upgrades of some names like Spotify, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Gilead when Squawk on the Street comes back.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tasty Trade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Time for a mad dash this morning as Jim's watching RH.
Wow, what a quarter. Gary Friedman will be on Mad Money tonight. Delivered a quarter that I didn't expect for at least maybe a year. It was that big a surprise. They had great operating margins, too. Everyone's raising their price targets. What he's done, he starts his conference call with quoting Emerson, talking about how you don't want to follow a path, you want to blaze a path. This is very typical of Gary. He's a bigger thinker than many of the analysts. And what he's saying is it's about taste. Those of us who are members of the RH Club know that what he's done is create, for those of us who don't have taste. And he's got it going. He's going to England. He's going to France. And get this, Carl. He's going to have a yacht that you can rent. I will inquire about that tonight. Maybe get maybe get Mike Corbett and Donna Corbett to go down, take it down, and hopefully you can get in it. What I loved about this quarter more than anything else in the world is the fact that Gary said he could get to $5 billion in revenue. Now he's going to $20 billion. He is the biggest thinker in the industry. He is not constrained by just being an omni-channel. He's got everything going. And it's incredible that you could, in a time of COVID, with a non-essential company, do these kinds of numbers. My hat's off to Gary. He is very different from every other retailer. Oh, boy, is he good.
Yeah. Yeah, upping their long-term view on margins, Jim. We know that he was well ahead of the curve on supply chains out of Asia, and they're already so well-positioned for consumers who not only have saved a ton of money by not traveling, but are obviously spending a lot more time in their home.
Yeah, now he gives the, he says it's indefinite how long. So you contrast Darius Adamczyk from Honeywell, Diamond from J.P. Morgan, they all expect, Jamie thinks we're all going to go back. Okay, that's great. Gary is not making that bet. Gary is saying, listen, your house is going to be your office. Your house is going to be your life, and it's got to be better than it is. He's talking about the exit from urban to suburban, second homes. Gary is a very big thinker. Most of the people in retail are trying to figure out how to close stores to grow. Gary's thinking about how to open stores to grow, and he blew people away. I'm glad you mentioned the operating margins, because margins in this business have historically been terrible, but that's because it's not a business. This company is not a furniture retailer. This is a company that has taste and allows you to be part of that taste. Every time I buy something from my wife, Lisa, buy something from our age, I send a picture of it to Gary. I say, look at this. We got the lights. Look at this. We got the desk. Look. And Gary always comes back, and he knows. I mean, if anyone's been to the, well, I guess I don't even know if you can go to the outdoor where he is in terms of opening up the new hotel, new room, guest rooms downtown in the meatpacking district. But Gary inspires, and the stock is inspirational. Will you look at the return? You know, he has better return than every one of the FANG stocks, including, I think, after today, Amazon. Yes. And he bothers to mention that, too. Gary's a Warriors fan. Sorry.
No, those are definitely growth-like numbers right there. Yeah. For the last couple
Real
of
deal.
Years, Jim. What an amazing story.
Real deal.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that and a lot of the other individual names. Also this morning, an exclusive with former Fed Chairman Greenspan. Talk to him about long-term trajectory of the economy. Of course, the Fed's new inflation strategy ahead of their meeting next week. That's later on this morning. Don't go away.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create. Like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event, so millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Coming off the best NASDAQ gain since April 29th, futures looking about as strong as they have all morning long, and names like Facebook, Apple, Tesla, Google, Amazon, Netflix, all in the green. We'll get that opening bell in 5 minutes. Just a couple of minutes to the opening bell, Jim. Among the upgrades today, and there are several, you got two for Spotify, one out of Telsey, the other out of Credit Suisse, as they go to outperform. Credit Suisse ups their target by $100.
Yeah, I mean, Spotify, very controversial stock, because you either believe in podcasts and think that it's the greatest thing going, because the actual business, Spotify, many of us have it, we share it, we love it, but it is a huge exclusive podcast that make it so that the stock has legs. I like the call. I've liked the stock since it came public using that direct listing, and the company's got some very, very smart people. This Joe Rogan podcast, they think, is going to be really, really big over Credit Suisse. He has a lot of followers. Whenever you hear anybody who says, hey, you know what, you could be the next Joe Rogan. Well, let's see how Joe Rogan does. But I just know, Carl, that podcasts are far more popular than those of us who are, say, in general media realize, unless you're in a car or you go somewhere. So I like the Spotify call. I think it has a lot of energy to it, going international, a lot of AI to it. It's got that Netflix feel, and it's rolling.
Yeah. The podcast debate is pretty fraught right now,
yes,
given some of the uncertainties about the long-term payoff. But between that and the marketplace offering, there's quite a bit of enthusiasm around Spot. You were talking RH a moment ago, and we had the discussion about people investing in their home. Bed Bath up 5 as well on another, as Webbush takes it to Best Ideas. I don't know if you're going to go that far.
Well, Mark Triton doing a really good job. Remember, he came from Target. John Duskin, an activist, so to speak, both bloggers from retail, has been saying over and over again, look, this is the real deal. This is the real turn. It is an expensive stock. You want to contrast what they're doing with what Gary Friedman says at RH, which is that you can't cut your way into success. So it's a very controversial stock, but I think it's got better management. Even if it isn't ultimately going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread, Bed Bath has room to go higher.
Hmm. There's a look at the S&P and the opening bell this morning, 34.15. Jim, talk about the price action yesterday. You did say in the morning that it was time to stop selling.
Yes.
I guess given the way in which the buying begot more buying during the session yesterday, it's time to start buying.
Well, look, I think a lot of companies at 5 o'clock when Brian was on this morning looked like they were going to be down big. And I was going to say, you know what? Here we go again. Pick up some Zscaler because it was an unbelievable quarter. Go in and go buy back some Zoom if you haven't gotten that. But, you know, there we go, right off to the races again. The Wall Street Journal had a piece saying tech looks lower. Well, tell that to the people who are buying NVIDIA. Tell that to people who are buying Salesforce. We already may be too high. The Zscaler quarter, a lot of people think that these companies are just overvalued, but if you look, they actually are making a lot of money and are not cheap. I know some people are going to hate this, but on 2023, 2024 business, but Zscaler and CrowdStrike are companies that make it so that if you work at home, you're not hacked. And people have to realize, working at home, a lot easier to hack. And people also hack you playing video games, and they steal your chits, and there are, it's just been heaven for the hackers. And CrowdStrike is a cloud-native company, Zscaler, Jay Chaudhry, Okta, we have Todd McKinnon doing a great job. I would like to say that if you want both on-prem and cloud, then you got to be looking at Palo Alto, which also had a magnificent quarter, Nikesh Arora.
Huh. Jim, trucking continues to be fascinating. Navistar's up big this morning as VW, this unit, boosts its bid for the company from 35. They're going to 43. This is a storied name, been around an awful long time.
Yeah, I mean, look, construction equipment, whether it be Cat, whether it be Komatsu, Terex, Volvo, seeing a lot of business. Ag, by the way, I know that that Stephanie Link has been saying, dear, 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 she's right. And I do think that this is a very sustainable turn. I do. I think that people are very reluctant to buy cyclicals because they think that, well, how does it possibly happen? But the numbers are the numbers, and the trucking's been the makers of PACCAR, Cummins, they're doing quite well. Yesterday, Caterpillar hit a high. Nobody could really figure it out. I now think that it could very well be this. And we're also seeing, by the way, last night we had 7% plus in rails. We have that negative 7% car loads up. And that's intermodal. That's truck. That's a win.
Yep, Jim. And here come the cruise lines, some of the retailers, Kohl's, Gap, Carnival, Norwegian, Royal. So that trade is rearing its head again.
You know, that trade is back. This Gap stores is so funny. People are talking about Athleta having 6% growth versus Lulu. That suddenly is back. The Robin Hood crew just loves the cruise lines. I wonder if they're actually taking any. No, because you can't do it. Norwegian, by the way, has 2 years of cash hanging around. If you want to be able to be in one that has some staying power, it would be Norwegian. The deals are extraordinary. If you think there's a vaccine, I know. I mean, because I cruising, I think, is pretty cool. My wife has gone on good cruise. You get some great deals. I mean, I think that you should go take down like 20. They won't let you do this, I don't think. But, you know, take down like 20 staterooms because the deals are so great. This is a hope trade. All three companies are incredibly well managed. And the issue is, can they get COVID under control? If they can, then you're going to see some very, very big numbers out in Norwegian this time next year.
Right. And then we see some other companies. JCPenney is the most obvious example this morning, Jim, where they're going into a truly different chapter here as Simon gets involved. If David were here, he'd probably give us a little more color on exactly where LVMH and Tiffany may go. But LVMH did file their lawsuit in Delaware and says they were surprised by the other direction sued out of Tiffany.
Yeah, I mean, look, mall-based, not that good. But then again, I look at Simon Properties and what they're doing with Stelter, what they're doing with Brookfield, and it's original. Again, I defer to Gary Friedman because his stock's up the most, RH, saying, listen, you can't close your way into growth. But some people think that David Simon's being desperate. I know David Simon. He's not a desperate guy. He's a cold, hard thinker. But malls are doing bad. Starwood had some bad I'd love to hear from Barry before I comment directly about what's going on with his malls, because Barry's a terrific business person. But I see no turn in the malls, but I do think that Simon Properties is doing some original thinking about what to do with that empty mall space.
So in general, Jim, I mean, do you think, I mean, we just had the fastest correction off an all-time high ever for the NDX. I mean, is it possible that gets unwound in four sessions? Is this the precursor to maybe a more medium-term duration of volatility?
I think it's a precursor to more medium-term. I know that the last half hour yesterday was actually pretty bad for the S&P. We didn't talk about it, but the Dow is real bad. But what I do see is that the numbers are good, and that's what people aren't thinking about. When you go over Zscaler, it was a cybersecurity company, the numbers are extraordinary, and it goes from being an expensive stock to being cheap. Do you know that if you look at NVIDIA, which is a poster boy of what people think is very expensive, this stock was selling at 20 times earnings in 20, if you back out what it was doing at the end of 2018. It was 20 times earnings, and all I ever heard was bubble, toil and trouble. But if you go back, it turned out that the company earned far more than people expected. If you execute well in your sales force, it turns out your stock isn't that expensive. Next week, we've got Adobe. Now, this stock looked incredibly expensive just a few years ago. And then it turns out, well, they did the numbers. They executed. So, Carl, if you can execute, if you're on the Internet, if you're digitizing, you're doing the numbers. If you're in trucking, you're doing the numbers. If you're in 5G, you're doing the numbers. And it makes it so that you have stocks that people come on and say are bubbles. Well, the bubbles aren't bubbles. They turn out to be stocks or they actually have earnings per share, and their multiples, if you look back, weren't that high. And that's what a great growth stock does.
Right, especially in the early innings of a new bull market,
exactly.
Especially.
Exactly.
And we'll see what Peloton and Oracle say tonight. Jim, we started the hour talking about the NFL, but Rosenblatt does initiate Penn at a buy, 80 target. Up another 9% this morning. That's an all-time high. And DKNG is about a two-month high this morning.
I love the Penn that quarter from Rosenblatt. If you go through it, what is the standout? Well, they're going to own betting. And how are they going to do that? David would love it. It's 9:37. David Portnoy and Barstool. Will David still spend as much time talking about stocks? I don't know. I spent a lot of time talking about NFL, so it's entirely possible. But the one thing I really like is that Jay Snowden, who's the engine behind the PennNat Barstool deal, wants to own gambling now that 33 states make it legal. I think he understands exactly where things are going. Someone was recommending Macau's casinos. Will you give me a break? PennNat doesn't have China. PennNat has gambling. This is the opening night of I got to tell you, Carl, I see more people doing fantasy and more people wanting to gamble. I, of course, can't gamble my contract, but wow, PennNat is the place. And that is a very inexpensive stock if they get it right.
Yeah, what a move that has been.
Remember, the stock was in three.
When it comes to,
it was in three in March.
Yeah. You know, historically, the view has been that baseball gave you the most frequency of bets, obviously, just because of the game count. But nothing matches. Nothing matches the attention that the NFL draws. I hear that Al Michaels is going to be on the half today.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. This is what the Chiefs are favored by 9. One of the things that's happened is that people talk about the line. They never talked about that. Even Jimmy, the late Jimmy the Greek, unfortunately, very sad 30 for 30 on him. Was reluctant to talk about the line. I think that that's going to be what people are going to have to start doing. And if you're reluctant to do it, I think there's going to be pressure to do it, given the fact that 33 states find it legal.
Yeah. Jim, some interesting color on Disney today. Stock's up 1%. But Reuters has a piece about sort of the reaction within China to Mulan.
Yeah.
They're quoting some sources that says the government is trying to get media outlets not to report on the film, given the controversy around the production. CFO did give a update on Mulan as much as she could yesterday and said that it has driven streaming, but we won't know more until the quarter.
She's a total heavyweight. I would point out the big analyst meeting coming up. People want to get out of that stock. They're absolutely nuts. I think that this is, you got to take the long-term view. I still love that call we had the other day about maybe ESPN being spun off. ESPN, natural place where we all, those of us who, my fantasy league, the Slump Addicted League, is on ESPN. Many others are. I think Disney's got many, many irons in the fire. It's the ultimate, it's the ultimate open trade. It is going to be, I think, benefited from a lot of these different tests that are going to be instant. And when you have an instant test, you wave your cell phone, you get in, you stop fearing, and you have a great time. I think Disney's a phenomenal stock to own if you think that things are coming back.
Yeah. Meantime, as far as TikTok goes, Jim, again, more headlines yesterday about whether or not there could be some effort to hand over management of essentially of the asset, if not ownership, as it does look like the deadline, the initial deadline, is not going to be met.
Yeah, I want to hear from Oracle. There was a lot of venture capital money, a lot of PE money, I'm sorry, that wants to team up with Oracle to do a bid. Larry Ellison likes to drop in on those calls that are run by the unbelievably fantastic Safra Katz. Maybe we'll get some clarity there. Microsoft's got the co-writers all set. I had Ned Siegel the other day on Twitter. He's the CFO. He was saying, listen, they're incredibly interested. No one seemed to be interested in the fact that he's interested. But I do think that there are a lot of people who want to be involved in this. I think people were thrown off by the president saying he wants money, too. There is a level of uncertainty about what goes on here. But Oracle's going to give us some real clarity tonight. That's a deal. That's a quarter you want to watch, because people keep saying that they're eating Oracle's lunch. But I don't know. It's up 10% and the stock's almost at 59 high where it was just at the beginning of September. I don't know whether Oracle's that dangerous. At 14 times earnings was the very big buyback.
Yeah, indeed, Jim. Finally, we didn't get to Gilead. Oppenheimer takes it to outperform. I think I remember you saying yesterday that on the spectrum of pharma that's working on treatments, this was not one of your favorites.
No, and Remdesivir, it's checkered. This is in my Cramer COVID-19 index, the worst performer since we started it in the last week of April. It's down 17%. It's been a complete bust, very counterintuitive for people who thought that Gilead was the one to own, but it's been a very big disappointment. All the drug stocks have been disappointing. It's not just Gilead, but Gilead is the worst performer, even though it's the one that got the most publicity when they did the Remdesivir trials.
Yeah. So some decent follow through on yesterday's session, although energy has slipped into the red. Let's get to Bob Pisani this morning. Hey, Bob.
Perennially energy slipping into the red right after the open. Happens all the time. But tech is leading, and we've got work from home stuff, Zoom, Electronic Arts doing a little bit better today. The travel stocks are helping the consumer discretionary sector. So let's just take a look. Tech's leading. As I mentioned, consumer discretionary strong on the some of the travel stocks doing better than expected overall. Banks, okay, slightly on the upside. Industrials and healthcare doing fair, not big leaders. The important thing is the mega caps are still leading today. Apple's up, Microsoft, all the big five mega cap stocks are moving to the upside. All of them still down for the month, though. Apple's down maybe 8% for the month so far, so still playing some catch up. I think the question is, where are we right now? And despite all this rocky move in some of these tech names, I don't think the conditions are particularly there for any kind of long-term drop. Right now, we're sort of in a garden variety, modest 5, 6, 7% move to the downside. If you look at the major indices from the 52-week highs, S&P 5% from the 52-week high, the equal weight S&P 7%, the NASDAQ 100 only 8%. We got about 10% down. That's about as far as we got. And the Russell 2000 is 11% from its highs, but the highs were way back in January on the Russell 2000, so that's been a laggard all year. I think the most important thing for stocks, earnings have been rising. We emphasized this the end of last week, again in the beginning of this week, but for the third quarter, for the first 2 months, the earnings estimates are going up about 2.6%. That's a little unusual. Normally, these estimates come down because the analysts are too optimistic, but they've been too conservative. They were conservative in the second quarter, and they're conservative in the third quarter. Hard to argue for a big, big drop in stocks when earnings estimates are moving to the upside. I'd like to see the move up for the fourth quarter. We haven't yet seen that. But if we keep getting this economic data, I think that's going to happen as well. So earnings estimates rising, big reason to argue against a big drop in the stock market. That doesn't mean stocks can't get frothy. We've seen what happened with these tech stocks. If you look what's been moving these tech stocks, the factors behind them, the most important thing is revenues have been accelerating because of the work from home. That's why these prices keep going all over the place. We've had the stimulus on top of that. We've had the reopening narrative doing a little bit better than expected. We've had all these new momentum players like the Robinhood people in it. Is it any wonder? It's really hard to figure out what's the right multiple for these technology stocks. The market can't decide. It's all over the place. Have you noticed? I'm sure you have. Some of these big tech names in the last few days, just in the month of September, look at some of these names like DocuSign and Salesforce. DocuSign moved from the high to the low this month 40%. I mean, that's crazy. That's a sign the market can't figure out what the right price is for these stocks, what the right multiple is. Salesforce 40% from the high to the low in September, 7 or 8 trading sessions. Wayfair 30%. Apple, even Apple, 27% move from the high to the low price this month. And even NVIDIA, 23%. These are established big names. You'd think like, well, we have a pretty good idea because there's a long history. But the market can't quite figure it out because of all of these various factors that are moving things around, including the new Robinhood crowd that are out there that are buying a lot of the momentum names. So the bottom line is, stick with the idea that when earnings are generally rising expectations, it's hard for the market to have a really big, big drop. Guys, back to you.
All right. Bob, thanks very much. We did get some data this morning on claims and PPI. Let's get to Rick Santelli. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Indeed, you know, claims basically were lateral moves, both on initial and continuing. I'm not sure that's a good thing. We'd like to see more progress made on bringing joblessness down. But the inflation numbers were definitely a smidge hotter, which will make tomorrow's consumer price index that much more interesting. Look at an intraday of 10s. It definitely firmed up. But it firmed up right back into this zone of crowded trades that we have between 70 and 74 basis points. We want to watch if we get above 0.75%. Let's look at a month-to-date of bond yields. You can see pretty much same scenario. They keep moving up towards minus 40. But for the most part, it's also somewhat of a lateral month with regard to rates. But something that hasn't been lateral is their currency. Now, Christine Lagarde and the ECB met today, and one thing they didn't do, they didn't really change policy, and they're not really addressing or targeting or spending much time talking about the recent strength of their currency, whether it's against the dollars you see on this intraday, which is getting close to levels we haven't seen since May of 2018, or whether it's against the yen, as you see on this intraday chart, as they once again get close to extreme levels of April of 2019. And I could show you against the Chinese currency, there's been improvement as well. So the euro seems to be having some strength. They adjusted some of their forecasts. But for all practical purposes, whether it's the ECB or our central bank, they're really trying to monitor COVID, and they don't really have any more facts than anyone else does. Carl and Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, we'll see in a bit. Rick Santelli, as we said earlier, coming up, lots to talk about with former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan in an exclusive interview about inflation, the economy, and the Fed itself. In the meantime, it's now the best two-day gain for the S&P since the end of June, April for the NASDAQ, and the Dow's gone higher for the week. As we mentioned, the NFL season kicks off tonight. The Chiefs, of course, host the Houston Texans. Fans are allowed inside Arrowhead, which has reduced capacity to about 22% due to the pandemic. Numerous protocols in place to maintain social distancing. Fans are required to wear masks at all times, including while seated. You can, of course, watch Texans Chiefs tonight. NBC coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be quite a game, Jim. Who do you like, by the way?
I do like the Chiefs. I love Andy Reid. I think this team comes in hot. Those of us who live and die fantasy know that there's some very exciting new player, new running back for the Chiefs. Obviously, Kelce will be back, but it's Mahomes. And Mahomes is the only quarterback that is drafted in the first or second round in fantasy. The rest of them are all pretty much the same. I think that this is a very big statement game for the Chiefs. I think they could win big. How about that second half of that Super Bowl? Wow. Football back is really great. Wasn't that fantastic?
Yep. He's having a great year, had a great year last year, another one personally this year. Obviously, he's getting paid, which he deserves. Do you foresee any kind of hiccups the way we saw early on in the baseball season?
No. I mean, they've only had one person apparently since the training camp began, they tested positive. They test. They really are. I mean, they've done tens of thousands of tests. Obviously, once you get on the road, there could be some hiccups. But these guys, this has been done very, very well. They have lots of money. They've really figured this out. And it's been, I know there's still a lot of people who feel that it cannot be a complete season. But they're not like Adam Silver and what he's done in terms of the dome. But they've done a great job. Right. They've really, really done a great job, the NFL. Training camp went through without a hitch. Pretty great.
Do you think it's a springboard for more advertising? And we saw some data out, I think it was Kantar yesterday, that said advertising in general is down, 19? That was in the first half.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you think this portends broader gains in advertising and hence media stocks.
Nathanson had Michael Nathanson had a very good piece out today, really kind of showing you, the decline. And we're also in a period where there's so much sports. I mean, but the NFL, gambling's big. Obviously, when you do fantasy, you watch the fourth quarter. That matters tremendously. It's been very hard to reach people. But when I deal with someone like Mary Dillon at Ulta, she doesn't want to use this. She wants to use the web. You keep coming back to the digitization. Adobe reports next week. You're going to hear a lot about how commerce is on the web. Shopify, the Instagram shops are very powerful. The Clorox Benadour has been a leader in getting consumer packaged goods to the web. The only thing that's held it back is has been a boycott, which I think is pretty much diminished. So it's the web. It's Amazon and it's Google. That's where people want to be. Amazon's streaming the game, by the way, which is pretty important.
Yeah. By the way, Axios today said it's the 20th ever sports equinox, meaning game action from all four major leagues in the same day.
Equinox, I love
only
it.
20
hey, how's
times
Equinox
in history.
Doing?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that look, this is, I mean, there's seven inning doubleheaders every time you turn around. The basketball season has been great. It's one of the greatest times for sports, the exact opposite a few months ago, but I do feel that NFL will prevail.
Later on today, as we said, Al Michaels will be a guest with the judge on the half, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, Squawk on the Street is back in a moment. Hopes for a continued economic reopening lead trading today as three of the top five S&P gainers are cruise lines, Norwegian up almost 6, Carnival up more than 5, and Royal Caribbean trailing right behind. We'll get more on this and a lot more when Squawk on the Street comes back. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Yeah, there's an outfit called Hindenburg. Hindenburg Short Report. They do a lot of work, and they have a piece out to say saying Nikola. It says how to parlay an ocean of lies into a partnership with the largest auto OEM in America. Incredibly critical. Now they are shorted, but I think what really matters here is that you need to hear from the other side of the trade, and I am sure that Hindenburg would agree to that too. One of the things about Hindenburg is that they're open to say, look, here's what we're doing. We're waiting to hear the other side, and now the other side is very quickly saying that it's just a pack of lies, but I do, Milton, got to get back on right now. Got to find out what he says about the Hindenburg piece about fraud and lies, because what matters is there are a lot of people who are in this thing, and they got to know as much as you can. So, Carl, it's being crushed because of Hindenburg, which owns a short position in Nikola.
Yep, Milton tweets, I guess everything's fair game in war, even a hit job. I know who funded it now. Give me a few hours to put together responses to their lies. Of course, this has implications not just for NKLA, Jim, but GM now, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, this is one of those where you want to, that Mary Barra, will she go over it and look at it? I don't know. Look, it's too long for me just to say that I've digested it, but I think Hindenburg does what I call thoughtful research. I have found things I agree with. I have found things I disagree with, but I like to learn the other side of the trade, whether it be J2 Global, whether it be, there was recently I don't want to mention because it was just so negative, a gardening stock that involves cannabis, but do your homework. Do your homework. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise.
Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.